The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter Number 20, Text Number 18. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on November 5th, 2011, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prashantam Padayo Premna Viditam Svena Karmana Shatakratum Parishvajya Vidvesham Visarja Ha Spishantam Padayo Premna Viditang Svena Karmana Shatakratung Parishvajya Vidveshang Visasarjaha Prashantang Padayo Premna Viditang Svena Karmana Shatakratung Parishvajya Vidveshang Vishasarjaha Sprishantam Touching Padayo The feet Premna In ecstasy Viditam Ashamed Svena By his own Karmana Activities Shatakratum King Indra Parishvajya Embracing Vidvesham Envy Visasarja Gave up Ha Of course Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada As King Indra was standing by, he became ashamed of his own activities and fell down before King Prithu to touch his lotus feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy and gave up all envy against him for his having stolen the horse meant for the sacrifice. Purport. There are many cases in which a person becomes an offender to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava and later becomes repentant. Here also we find that although the King of Heaven Indra was so powerful that he accompanied Lord Vishnu, he felt himself a great offender for stealing Prithu Maharaja's horse that was meant for sacrifice. An offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is never excused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many instances illustrating this fact. Ambarish Maharaj was offended by Devasa Muni, a great sage and mystic yogi. And Devasa also had to fall down at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. Indra decided to fall down at the lotus feet of King Prithu. But the king was so magnanimous a Vaishnava that he did not want Maharaj Indra to fall down at his feet. Instead, King Prithu immediately picked him up and embraced him, and both of them forgot all the past incidents. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other, but since both of them were Vaishnavas or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust their cause of envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. In the present day, however, Because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually among one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world, so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatambara Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadoitam Labadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, why do people get envious and angry? That is due to a false conception of reality. If I am thinking that I am the center of the universe, and you are thinking that you are the center of the universe, then there is bound to be clashing sooner or later. You understand? The root cause of this enmity, it takes place. One soul to another is due to a false conception of the self. So, the way to get rid of this envy is known as Krishna consciousness. Instead of seeing myself as the center, you see, if I can understand Krishna is the center, God is the center, you see. Why do people try to make themselves the center? Because they think that is how to be happy. This is the great tragedy of the modern day civilization. Their sense of how to be happy is fallacious. And because the root psychology underpinning or underlining the entire civilization is fallacious, therefore in spite of all arrangements they have made to make a nice civilization, it's a hellish situation. It's the fish out of water problem, is it? The fish is thinking, if I can be happy on the land, but he can never be happy on the land. It's not possible. No matter what arrangements you may make for that fish, he can never be happy. You may give him a nice Rolls Royce car, a beautiful movie star wife from Bollywood. Give him so many facilities. Can never be happy. Because he is not a creature of the land, he is a creature of the water. You understand? He's a creature of the water. Therefore, for him to be satisfied, he must be simply thrown back into the water. Then all his problems are finished. So the difficulty is, we are trying to be happy on the land. We are not creatures of the land. We are creatures of the water. Is it? We are trying to be happy in the false conception that I am the center of the universe. I am God. But it doesn't work. It's like trying to put a round peg into a square hole. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It's actually very easy to be happy. It's like a fish in the water. It's so easy to be happy and peaceful. But because we're trying to be happy in the wrong way, therefore we find so many problems, so many difficulties. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master has to save us from this false conception. Brahmanda brahmite konya bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhaktilata bij. One living entity who is very, very fortunate, after wandering through this Brahmanda, the higher planets, the lower planets, the 8,400,000 species, wandering, trying to find happiness, and never finding happiness in millions and billions of years. Never finding it. Genuine happiness, you see. At best, maya sukaya, that's an illusory happiness. Never finding genuine happiness. That living entity was very, very fortunate, you see. He will come in contact with bona fide spiritual master. And by that contact, the bona fide guru, he plants the seed of bhakti within the heart. And if that fortunate soul nurtures that seed by regularly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, and protecting that creeper from the weeds, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And if he also builds a very, very strong fence around his garden to keep what out? What will ruin your creeper if it comes into your garden? Hatti Mata, a mad elephant. Boom, boom, boom. If he comes into your garden, one step, your creeper is finished. So a very, very strong fence must be built around that garden, you see. Because if we offend a Vaishnava, what happens to our creeper? Boom, finished. See? One has to be very, very careful of this offense of Hatimanta. So how will I avoid offending devotees? I just go to the Himalayas and stay in a cave and I won't offend any devotee. No. That doesn't work because you'll be offending within your mind. Even if you stay away, you'll find fault with them within your mind. It doesn't work to go hide somewhere to not avoid offending Vaishnavas. The way to not offend Vaishnavas, the hint is given by Krishna in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtache janaha, mad bhaktanamshche ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas, you're not my devotee. But if you become the devotee of my devotee, then you're my real devotee, you see. So how do I avoid offending Vaishnavas? Just to become the devotee of the devotees. Isn't that Lord Chaitanya's famous instruction? Dasa, dasa, nudasa. I simply have to become the devotee of the devotees. So I'll become the devotee of my spiritual master, but not others, right? No, we have. The more you become the devotee of the devotee of the devotee, then you become glorious. The more you can respect others, you become more respectable. Many times devotees say, how to become humble? It's so simple. It's given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Offer all respect to others without expecting any respect from yourself. This is the key to becoming humble. That means all others. Not just human beings, but even the little ant. Everyone knows the story. The Murghari the hunter. He was not even hurting a little tiny ant. He was offering all respect to the ants also. You see. Well, I'll respect you, Prabhu, if you'll respect me. That's not humble. That's a business deal. You see? Real humility is you can spit in my face, but still I offer my obeisances to you. You see? That's humility. You see? Even Christ said, turn the other cheek, you see? So, that happens sometimes. Sometimes we are disrespected. You ever been disrespected? Anybody ever been disrespected? Sure, we've all been disrespected. So, what do you do when you're disrespected? Offer respect. You should think, well, this person actually wasn't really their disrespect. It was my own reaction for my previous disrespect. This person simply delivered my reaction to me. They didn't really offend me. I was offensive in the past, and Krishna has engaged this person as the delivery man, the DHL man, to deliver my karmic reaction to me. You see. So in this way, you actually see what's going on from the philosophical view, you see, from the transcendental perspective, the Vedic wisdom. Understand, actually, nobody's actually offending me. I'm just getting the reactions from my own past offenses, that's all. These are all just a bunch of DHL people delivering my reactions to me, that's all. I have any grudge against them, wouldn't make any sense, you see. They're just doing their duty. Of course, we shouldn't think that about ourselves. Well, I'm going to be the DHL man and be disrespectful of all the devotees. You see. Not like them. But from our side, we should see. Should never hold a grudge against anyone. Think, well, just like a nice example is Vidura. He was being kicked out of the palace by offense personified, Duryodhana. But Vidura had a very, very transcendental vision. After all, he's one of the Mahajanas, Yamaraj himself. He had very transcendental vision. He could see, well, the external energy is acting. He's being very offensive to me. But he was also saying, this is the internal energy acting simultaneously. I'm being blessed with the opportunity to get out of all of this political intrigue and go on parikram. Great. Thank you, Duryodhana. You see? You've actually blessed me. So one who has transcendental vision, he never sees that he's being offended. He sees he's always being blessed. Everything is a blessing, you see? He's never, therefore, why would he want to retaliate? He has an attitude of gratitude. Even when he's offended, he sees that this is for my benefit. So in this way, if we have this transcendental attitude and see that wonderful, merciful hand of Krishna within everything, you see, what will be the result? If you learn to see how the merciful hand of Krishna is acting in every situation at every moment in your life, then you will come closer and closer and closer to Krishna with every minute. Actually, Krishna is already there. Everything is happening under his sanction. So we were hearing yesterday on the Dinabandha Prabhu was speaking at Vrindakum about becoming qualified for the darshan of Krishna. So this is how we become qualified. The non-envious attitude. The more we can develop a non-envious attitude, the more we become qualified to see Krishna. If we see everything as the blessing of Krishna, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, everything, if we see it all as the mercy of Krishna, then that means Krishna is becoming revealed to us more and more and more and more. Actually, Krishna is already there. Is there anywhere where Krishna is not present? Krishna is already present. But we got blurry vision, you see. We have very, very blurry vision. It's like somebody who has thick glasses. If they take off their glasses, they can't see anything. How many fingers am I holding up? Well, I don't know. It's just blur, you see. So right now, we have blurry vision. We cannot see Krishna. He's there before us, but we cannot see. But by this process of Krishna Bhakti, given by Rupa Goswami, carefully going through all the steps, Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya. One devotee was foolishly saying that this sadhana, this Vairi Bhakti, is an impediment for pure love of God. But no, that is not a fact. If the Vairi Bhakti, the sadhana bhakti rules and regulations were an impediment for pure love of God, then why Rupa Goswami has given them? You see. We shouldn't be misled if someone gives false propaganda. Just jump straight to Raganuga. We should not be misled. Rupa Goswami never said Adao Bhava. He says Adao Garashvayam. That first Bhava and then Prema, and that's it. Finished. No. Adao Garashvayam. Your first business is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And what do you do? Sat Dharma Prichcha. You inquire from him about religious principles. And then Sadhu Marganu Gamanam. Your next step, now the spiritual master will engage you in following in the footsteps of the great acharyas. That's what the spiritual master will do. The spiritual master is not a standalone entity. He's simply a representative of the previous acharyas. He'll engage you in serving the previous acharyas. Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, Srila Prabhupada, and all the predecessor acharyas, you see. This is the system. So if we take to this pathway as it is coming from Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Navritta Shat Tata Nishta Rajishtataha Sadakananga Yang Prema. In this way, if we go through the authorized system given by Rupa Goswami, that day will come and we will see God. That is a fact. So, what is that process? Purifying that vision. Now we have blurry vision. We cannot see Krishna. Preman jana charito bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shindaram jagunasvarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami yang shama shundaram jagunasvarupam. If we will simply apply that very special ointment, that ointment is called Premanjana. It's interesting, in the English language, there is a seldom used synonym for ointment, unguent. Note the linguistic similarity between unguent and anjana. So actually this is another proof that English is originally coming from Sanskrit. Prem unguent or prem anjana, you see. So if you will take that prem anjana and you apply it to your eyes, then that blurriness will go away and you will see Krishna. So if you want some eye ointment, where do you go? You go to the local pharmacy, the chemist, the drugstore. So where do we get this ointment, prem anjana? Where do we go for that? Well, we have one pharmacy. It's called ISKCON. Prabhupada actually was a pharmacist before, you know them. But now he has created another pharmacy with only one medicine, Premanjana. Now we have one medicine only in this pharmacy, Premanjana. So how do you apply this premanjana? It comes a little tube and you put it in your eye. How do you apply this premanjana? This premanjana is applied in a very mystical way. This is very mystical ointment. You apply it through your ears. You put the ointment in your ears and you let it go deep, deep, deep into your heart. You see? That Shabda Brahma, that transcendental sound vibration. Why do we pray? My only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. Because those words are the premanjana, actually. The words of your spiritual master, the words of Prabhupada, they are the premanjana. So if we take them into our ears, deep, deep, deep into our heart, then gradually, 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 slowly, slowly, that blurriness will go away. And that day will come and you will see Krishna. Prabhupada ordered me, actually, in one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I love that letter Prabhupada wrote me. Prabhupada wants me to be able to see Krishna. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. So, he wants all of us to see Krishna. Krishna consciousness means you become qualified to see Krishna. So we have to go step by step by step through the authorized system, you see. Have faith in the process. Associate with pure devotees, those who are strictly following the pathway. They are called pure devotees. Those who are strictly following this path, they are called pure devotees. So associate with the pure devotees. Take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. Follow the rules and regulations of devotional service under his orders. And then what happens? All that dirt, you see, you become free from your bad habits. All that crud sitting there, it becomes cleansed away more and more, day by day. Every day when you chant those rounds, when you follow those principles, when you engage in sadhana bhakti, then your heart becomes more and more and more cleansed. And then, what is the result? Nishtha, you become fixed up devotee, you see. Solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. Nothing will deviate you, you see. Now you're fixed. Even a prostitute comes, like Haridas Thakur, you see. He was totally fixed up devotee. He wasn't attracted by the prostitute. He was merciful to the prostitute, how to make her a devotee. If one is fixed in Krishna consciousness, no matter what temptation may be given to him, it does not attract him away from Krishna consciousness. He knows that I have only one desire, and that is to be a devotee of Krishna. And whatever comes to me, let me engage it all in Krishna's service, you see. He never thinks, oh, now here's a facility for my sense gratification. Let me take advantage. No. He knows that that's suicidal. He's no interest in using the facilities that come to him in his for sense gratification. Because he knows it's not going to make me happy. He understands the science of bhakti. He knows if I do this, I'm going to become miserable. Therefore, he strictly follows the principles. Even if he's a grihastha, he has facility for sex pleasure, he will not have sex with his wife except for procreation once in a month. You see? Because he understands, I'll become miserable if I don't follow these principles. Let me strictly follow this pathway. And then once you're solidly fixed, you can't be budged from bhakti, then what happens? Ruchi, you get an incredible sweetness. Experience an incredible sweetness. Just by saying Krishna, there's so much sweetness. Do you know how much sweetness there is in Krishna? Do you know how much sweetness there is? Rupa goes, that's good, you said no. He shook his head, no. That's the right answer. Because Rupa Goswami says he doesn't know either. Even Rupa Goswami says, I do not know. Na prema shavanadi bhaktir api va yogata va vaishnavo. Jnanam ka shumakarma va kiya. No, that's the wrong verse. I'll think of the in Sanskrit in a minute. The English is, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Yeah, here's the Sanskrit. Tunde tandavani viting vitanute tundavali lamdiye karna karoda kadamani gatayate kunavyade braspriham shaita prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadviramitai krishneti varnadvai. Actually, Prabhupada told George Harrison he should make a popular song out of this mantra. I don't think he did that. It's a very, very important mantra. Rupa Goswami is saying, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I say Krishna, that name dances on my tongue, and there is so much nectar in Krishna that my one little mouth can hardly get any of it. Therefore, I must have millions of tongues to get at least a little bit more of that nectar. And then when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar, I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And then when that name, Krishna, dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. This is the mind control of the Vaishnava. The yogi's mind control is given in chapter 6. Yogi nam api sarvesham. No, not that verse. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamashtaram. From wherever the mind wanders, you got to keep bringing it back. You see, that's the yogi's mind control. There the mind goes, okay, mind, come on back. Whoop. Come on back. Whoop. You see? He has to keep grabbing that little mind like a little kid running here to you know, draw crayons on the walls and this and that. Grab him back. But Rupa Goswami is not conquering his mind in that way. His mind control is in a state of complete awe, becoming completely overwhelmed with this unlimited oceans of nectar oozing out of Krishna. Do you know there is so much nectar in Krishna? Those two vibrations, that nectar can, that gulab jamun juice of Krishna, can fill up the whole universe. And that there's so much, the universe can't even hold it. Even though there's so many thick coverings, we read in the Bhagavatam about the incredible thick coverings of the universe, that nectar coming from one pure utterance of Krishna is so powerful, it'll burst through the universal coverings. Just like a gulab jamun that bursts, the juice comes squirting out, you see. So the universe, for the pure devotee, the whole universe is a gigantic gulab jamun. And he's swimming in that ocean of Krishna's name, which has filled up the whole universe with nectar. That's the mind control of the pure devotee, Rupa Goswami. So we can look forward to coming to the Ruchi stage. If we're not there yet, we can look forward to it. So we have to qualify ourselves to get that kind of nectar, you see. We have to qualify ourselves. It's a very important point. Qualifying ourselves is a very important principle. The other night I was blessed, very much blessed here in Vraj. I had a dream of Prabhupada. And I don't know why I said this, but I've been studying the verses of Rupa Goswami a lot. I'm very attracted to Rupa Goswami's teaching. So I told Prabhupada in the dream, Prabhupada, I want to meet Rupa Goswami. And he said, you have to qualify yourself. So I took that as a very poignant instruction from Prabhupada. You see, we have to qualify ourselves, you see. It's not that we can jump to bhava and prema just because, you know, by brute force. You can't gate crash your way into the spiritual world. You have to buy a ticket. You have to have a ticket. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopalabhyate tattala yang api bhoyamekalam janmakoti sukhitarana labhyate. A very nice teaching given by Rupa Goswami in the Pajavali, text number 14. He says that pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds of millions of lifetimes. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is tatralayam, the intense greed to achieve it. He says if it's available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So how greedy are you for bhakti, Prabhu? How greedy are you for bhakti, Mataji? Is it? This is the actual secret of the success in Krishna consciousness. How greedy are you for pure bhakti? Am I greedy for sense gratification and a little bit of bhakti on this side? That's called Sakama devotee. You see? Or I simply have my only greed is for bhakti. That's called Akama devotee. So we have a choice. We can be Sakama devotees who are holding on to our material desires, or we can be Akama devotees who have no material desires. It's your choice. You have the control. You're operating your own consciousness. You are the operator of your own consciousness. So you can decide whether you want Sakama Bhakti or Akama Bhakti. It's a wonderful freedom we have. Krishna has given us free will. Some people say, well, I'll become a devotee when Krishna wants me to. I'll come to your temple when Krishna wants me to. What bogus nonsense. Krishna wants you to become a devotee right now. He wants you to surrender right now. So do it. Prove you really believe what you said, sir, that I'll become a devotee when Krishna wants me to. He wants you to right now, so then do it. You really mean that? Then do it right now. You'll surrender immediately. You see? Krishna wants us to fully surrender to Him right now and give up all nonsense. Immediately, right now. Sarva dharman purit jaja. Give up all that nonsense right now. That's what He wants. So are we going to cooperate with Krishna or not? That's up to each one of us. Krishna wants me to fully surrender to Him right now. Will I cooperate? Or will I try to do my own little independent thing? Well, Krishna, later, later, later. You see, we have a choice. We have that choice. At every minute we're acting either to surrender to Krishna or to rebel against Krishna. At every minute we're acting. It's either one or the other. There's no in between. You're either acting in a way which is for Krishna or you're acting in a way against Krishna. So we have to become very vigilant to see how am I acting? How am I thinking? The real key is what is the mood? What mood do you have? That's the real thing. If you have the right attitude, then everything else will follow automatically. If you have cultivated the proper attitude of devotion, then your mind in that proper attitude, then you'll speak very nicely, naturally, and you'll act very properly. So simply to make a show of bhakti by talking about Krishna or doing devotional service without a proper attitude, it won't last. The most important thing you can do is to cultivate the proper attitude of bhakti. Because if you have that proper attitude, everything will be perfect. Krishna bhakti is there within the heart right now, just waiting to wake up. It's our choice. Lord Chaitanya is saying, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Goro Chandra Bole. Lord Chaitanya is imploring us, wake up. It's our choice. Will I wake up or I will stay asleep? So we have that choice. So I can ask now if there's any questions. I need somebody here to tell me in my right ear what the question is, because who will tell me? You can tell me, Vasudev Krishna, what they're asking. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I'm referring to the qualifications of the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is supposed to be the beyond modes of material nature.
beyond a Vaishnava is supposed to be beyond the modes of material nature.
Beyond the modes of material nature. Mm-hmm. And I presume that a Vaishnava is also a pure devotee without any material desires.
Now, let him finish.
How does, after all, when we are born in this material world, you have to be attached to some mode of material nature. How does a Vaishnava conduct himself beyond the modes of material nature?
He's saying we have a natural attachment to the mode.
And he says that so Vaishnava is supposed to be beyond the modes. But at the same time, we are in this material world. So how does he act that he is beyond the modes?
The spiritual master engages the disciple in such a way that he... Because all of us have a certain position within the modes, that's a fact. As long as we are conditioned souls, we are situated in a certain mixture of sattva-gun, tamagun, rajagun. So the spiritual master very expertly engages that disciple according to their position within the modes in such a way they become free from the modes. Everybody has a certain amount of goodness, a certain amount of passion, a certain amount of ignorance. That's where we start. So the spiritual master engages that disciple in such a way that he's able to utilize his propensities to act within this world in the service of Krishna. In this way he becomes completely purified of the modes of nature. It's like the example, you're doing Govardhan Parikrama and you get a thorn in your foot, but you left your tweezers back at the MBT. What do? To take out the thorn? But you can take another thorn to take out the thorn. So you actually, you can use the modes of material nature to get free from the modes of material nature by engaging them in Krishna's service. If you have a passionate tendency, we'll offer that to Krishna.
That takes you beyond the modes of material nature.
By engaging the modes of material nature in Krishna's service, you become liberated from them. Everybody has a tendency to act in a certain way according to their modes. So they take that tendency and use it for Krishna and they become liberated from that modes of nature. It's like Arjuna, he had a passionate nature as a Kshatriya, you see. But he didn't want to use it for Krishna. He didn't want to use his passionate nature in Krishna's service. But Krishna said, no, you use that nature. You're fighting nature for me. And by doing it, Arjuna became purified. Questions? There's one back there. That Mataji back there.
You're saying how we have to do now, how we have to try now. And I was just wondering how not to get too much disappointed with ourselves and frustrated on the way, because we're doing efforts, we're trying our best, but sometimes it just doesn't work. We have to wait. It takes so long. Then how to keep going and not to get over frustrated, so that not to keep going.
I think I understood. I advise that you study that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You have to keep your mind always fixed on the goal. He says, Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When oh, when will that day be mine? Aparada guchi, shudaname ruchi, kripa bole habe hridaye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When oh, when will that day be mine? In this way, if you always keep your mind fixed on the goal, you're hankering, when will that day come? When I'll be able to chant Shudanam, completely free of all offenses. Always keep yourself fixed on the goal. That goal is that to meditate on the goal of Shudanam, of pure bhakti, is so wonderful meditation. You only don't even worry about what a nonsense rascal you were, you see. Just focus on achieving pure bhakti. I'm always begging, Krishna, please help me. Please help me come out of this state. Actually, To feel yourself very fallen is very good. It's very good to feel fallen. Rupa Goswami is saying, Apiva yogata va vaishnava jnanam cha jnanam va shubhakarma va kiyadaho says jatir vyashti va yanarata dikasadaketvai tachapyuchija mulasati he gopi janava vyahatate vyahate ha shadamai what is it? Ha shadamai, I forget the last line. But he is saying, he's thinking himself very lowly and very fallen. He is saying, I have no love for Krishna, no prema. Shravanadi Bhaktir, I have no inclination for hearing and chanting. He says, I do not possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava, knowledge or pious activities. I'm not even born in a decent family. On the whole, my dear Lord, I'm completely unqualified to engage in Krishna consciousness. Just see how he's feeling about himself. But he says that, my dear Lord, Gopi Jana Balava, beloved maintainer of the gopis, because you are most merciful upon this the fallen souls, I have this unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart that somehow or other, by your mercy, I can achieve the highest perfection of life. He has great faith in the mercy of the Lord. He knows because Krishna is so merciful upon the fallen souls, therefore he has great hope. So if you can feel yourself very disqualified, that's very good. It's very, very good. Feel how that I'm so disqualified, but this disqualification is my qualification. Because the Lord is most merciful upon those who are most fallen. Narottam prays in the same way. He said, my Lord, you are known as Patita Pavana. You are most merciful upon the fallen souls. But my Lord, if you examine all the fallen souls in this world, you will see that I am the most fallen of all the fallen souls. Therefore, my Lord, I'm the first in the queue for your mercy. So you, this way, if you examine how disqualified you were, you see, it's very good. Understanding your position, where does it put you in the queue? For the mercy of Krishna, you're the first one in the line. I'm the first one in line for the mercy of the Lord because I'm so fallen. I'm so angry, I'm so greedy, I'm so lusty, I'm so lazy, I'm so envious, I have every bad quality in the book. I'm the worst Jagai Madai character that ever hit ISKCON, you see? If you can feel like that about yourself, then guess who's going to get the most mercy from Guru and from Krishna? That would be you. You'll get the most mercy. So the more you can feel yourself fallen, that's very good. That's how our Goswamis pray. So I would take advantage of your feelings of disqualification and use them to qualify yourself to get the most mercy of all. Okay? Here's the next question. How a devotee shows humility in the outside world when he's offended by a non-devotee? It depends on the situation. There's so many situations. It really depends. We have to see everything according to time, place, and circumstance. One time I was greatly offended when I was out distributing, I was handing out Simply Wonderfuls on University Avenue in Gainesville, Florida. Everybody that walked down the street, I gave them a Simply. So one smart aleck hippie, he thought he'd have a little fun with the Hare Krishna. So he came out to me and he took his hands and hit the basket and all the Simply Wonderfuls went out in the middle of the street. Ha, ha, ha. You see? That's pretty offensive, wasn't it? So what am I supposed to do? Say, Om Shanti? Actually, what I did was I made a show of anger as if I was... I didn't actually hit him or anything like that. But I made a show of anger as if I was going to kill him if he didn't do what I said. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to repeat it because it probably hurt my ears, but... as loud as I did it. But I yelled, I yelled in his face. I put my finger right in his face. And I gave him that Nisringadev look, you know. Like, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to kill you. I said, you better get out there and pick up those sweets right now. And you know what he did? He snapped out of his smart aleck hippie thing and he came a humble devotee. He ran out there and picked up all the sweets. Before the light turned, it was the middle of an intersection. There was a red light. The cars were stopped. He ran out right in the middle of the intersection in front of all the cars. He picked up the sweet, and before the light turned green, I had all the sweets back in the back, in the basket, you see. So sometimes we have to make a show of anger to help people. It was actually very good. I gave him that Nisringadeva look and that Nisringadeva yell. It was very good for him. It snapped him out as an offensive move. He actually had a pious nature, but he had a mixture of the divine and demoniac qualities. It actually, by giving him the Nisringadeva look and the Nisringadeva yell, it snapped him, it pushed that demoniac side away and brought his pious nature out again. So we have to judge according to circumstances. Somebody tells me I'm a rascal, I will say, well, thanks for complimenting me. I thought I was worse than lower than a rascal. Now I've been elevated by your mercy. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
Thank you for a very nice class. I'd like to know, you mentioned the Rupa Goswami says that the pure devotional service, the qualification of a pure devotional service is Uttivar, that is Doyam, that is sincere greed for getting it at any cost. There should be some checking point in our Krishna consciousness where we can go on checking in our life that we are seriously greedy for Krishna. What is the checking point that we can check it, that we are seriously greedy for Krishna? At the same time, how can we check it again that our greed is constantly increasing for getting Krishna at any cost?
Asking that you mentioned Lolam from Rupa Goswami's teachings. So how should we check in our sadhana, in our day-to-day lives, that our Lolam is increasing? And also, like, what is the, like, if he's sincere or not? So how do we check these two things?
How do I see if I'm sincere or not? Let me ask you this. When you ask me, how do I see if I'm sincere or not, are you sincerely asking me that question? Are you sincerely inquiring, how do I check my sincerity? Are you sincerely inquiring? You really want to know? A yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, so that is your sincerity, you see. The fact that you're asking me, how do I see if I'm sincere or not, that is your sincerity. I can see you're a sincere devotee because you're inquiring, how do I monitor my sincerity? So you have the sincerity. That quality you have. You've asked a very nice, sincere question. So sincerity you have. And as far as how do I judge my greediness? Bhakti pareshvanu bhavo bharaktir. If you are becoming more and more feelings of love for Krishna, that when you hear the kirtan, you become blissful. When you see the deity, you become, your heart melts. You become more and more, when you think of Vrindavan, your heart, your heart melts. The more you can feel love for Krishna, the name of Krishna, looking a beautiful picture of Krishna, you go, oh, he's so beautiful. The more you feel that attraction for Krishna, that means your greed is increasing. You see? The more you can be conscious of Krishna in this thing and that thing. Like Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. You drink some water, you see, you can remember Krishna. The more you become conscious of Krishna, that means your greed is increasing. And the more you become detached from sense gratification, that's a very good way to check. Am I greedy for any material things, you see? If your greed for material sense gratification is going down, that means your greed for Krishna is going up. Greed must be there. Greed cannot be given up. But is it greed for matter or greed for spirit, you see?
Thank you very much. But yeah. I'd like to get more clarification. Is that when we understand that we have to become greedy and we see some sign also in our Krishna consciousness that we are greedy for Krishna. But we would like to know that greed is increasing day by day by day. I might be attached to everything, whatever you said, that I like to see Krishna, I like to see the form of Krishna, I like to see Vrindavan, I'll be thinking of Vrindavan. But what is But sometimes we don't check ourselves that that greed is increasing or not.
So he's saying that it's good that I am having my taste for seeing Krishna pictures and everything. But how do I know if my greed is increasing or not? Like, how do I check that?
Your japa? When you pick up your beads, do you feel, you think, oh, just Krishna has blessed me. He's appeared in the form of name. Or do you think, oh, I got to get my rounds done. Yeah. Oh, get this done. What is your feeling when you pick up those beads? That's a very good way to monitor yourself. What is my feeling as I'm chanting my japa? Am I taking it? I'm greatly fortunate that Krishna has come. He's personally come to give me his darshan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Am I just taking it as something I have to get over with? You see? Just by seeing studying your own mentality while you're chanting your rounds, how am I relating to Krishna's name? That's how you can monitor your own advancement. You see? How are you relating to your japa? Honestly assess yourself every day. You can even take notes after you finish japa. Have a little diary, you know. Japa notes. You can assess what was my consciousness today while I chanted my rounds. That way you can monitor yourself very nicely. Any other questions? Yes. Come here again.
Prabhuji, is it necessary to check whether I have qualification for something or not? Because as you're answering the Mataji's question, you said that the very fact, when you feel disqualification, that is your qualification. But when we feel disqualified, and that makes us feel that, okay, I am qualified, that again makes us disqualified. So it appears like a paradox. So,
you said that to the Mataji that you should feel disqualified, that you have so many bad qualities. So then you feel, okay, so I'm disqualified. So then that gives me the first position in the queue, that I'm most qualified to get Lord's mercy. So it's like a paradox. Like, you're feeling disqualified, again you're feeling qualified. So like, how to resolve this paradox?
Just get in the queue and it'll all work out. Put yourself in the queue, and by the mercy of the Lord, Prabhu, you'll understand everything. Do you understand? Do you understand? Huh? No? It doesn't make sense to you? Well, I'm thinking, well, how is it that by being unqualified I become qualified? Just take the mercy. When mercy is shown to you because you're very unqualified and Krishna is very kind to you and blesses you because of your unqualification, feeling sorry for you and your fallen condition. When Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master or a devotee, is very kind to you, seeing how miserable you are and how fallen you are, take advantage of that mercy. Don't become proud thinking, well, who are you? I'm an advanced devotee. I don't need this mercy. Understand, you need the mercy. When mercy comes, take it with great appreciation. Thinking, what are you telling me? Give me an instruction. I know everything. You see? When the mercy comes, we have to see that mercy, how it's come to me. We have to humbly accept that mercy. When a Vaishnava is kind to me, when Guru is kind to me, when Krishna is kind to me, we have to appreciate how I've been blessed with this mercy. And learn how to see, learn to appreciate the kindness of others. Of Guru, of Vaishnavas, learn to appreciate the kindness of others. That's how you receive the mercy. You see, mercy can be given, but if your heart is not soft, then it's just like the rain falling on the rocks. It will roll off. It won't penetrate. So you have to become porous like the earth. And when the mercy comes, you take it deep into your heart. You see? The spiritual master can give instruction. I can let it go in one ear and out the other, or I can take it deep into my heart. You see? We have to learn how to be very, very receptive. That's why it said submissive hearing. Krishna says one should inquire submissively, not in a challenging spirit. Submission is very, very important. If I'm very fallen, then I should understand. Therefore, I must open my heart up. I have to give up any sense of false pride, understanding I'm very, very fallen. So let me now take whatever is coming is the mercy. Not think I know something better. You understand? Does it make sense to you? Okay. Anything else? Should we end or we keep going a little bit longer? Anybody wants to go for breakfast? I don't want to hold you here if you want to go. Yeah, all right. I got a signal, it's better to end the class. So. Oh yeah, it's almost 9, getting pushing 9:30, okay. All right then, well I want to thank you all very much for your kindly hearing this message. And may Krishna bless you all with very nice advancement on the path of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.